Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And it is always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore God's word together. As always, I say thank you for taking time out of your schedule. And I say, I pray that God give you the desires of your heart. As we learn the word of God, it should mature us. And I want you to know that maturity has its advantages. So with that being said, as always, we play a song and then we go to the throne of grace and then we explore the word of God together. I'm going to go ahead and play the song tonight. And it fits so well with our lesson because the name of the song is He is Preparing Us. He's preparing me. He's preparing you. So listen to the song. Be prayerful and be blessed. There are messages in songs.
I cannot handle right now, right now.
And that song is "He's Preparing Me." You know, we have to hold on because we have to trust and know that God is always working things out for our good. I pray that that song helps someone because, you know, we all going through something and we all have battles that we figure we have to fight. But God is in control. God knows where you are right now. He understands what you're going through. He said, if you can't understand and you don't hear my voice, just trust my plan, because I am God, and yes, I do understand. God is a good God, a merciful God, and God didn't bring us this far to leave us. You have to believe it. And at this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. And I'm extending to anyone that may be listening that if you would press the one button on your phone, I would open the mic and you could lead us to the throne of grace. The opportunity is extended, and anyone who would like to answer the call, you can press the one button on your phone. And I will open the mic. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed us to assemble together to explore your word, to learn more of you, to become a better doer and not just a hearer. It's given us an opportunity right now to grow in grace and the knowledge of you, dear God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we hold on to your unchanging hand because there's no other help we know. Lord, I just want to say thank you for your son and your spirit. I thank you, dear God, for every listener that called in. And, Lord, I'm thanking you in advance for the lights that just went on. And, Lord, everything I ask in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. We have two callers that press the one button, and both of them, we're going to give them an opportunity to pray because there's never too much prayer. Caller, your number is 25656. Your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Sister Diane. Well, as you well know, today is the first Wednesday of the month. This is Pamela Mack, and I'm going to call out the prayer list, and I'm going to end it with a prayer. And before I do that, I just ask that anybody that they need prayer, that needs prayer, or is there anybody wants to see a something about somebody that's on the prayer list and did a recovery or they passed on or a praise report or anything that y'all want to see about someone, or like I say, if you have someone you need standing in need of prayer, you press the one button at the end of the program. So I'm going to read off the prayer list first and I'll end it with a prayer. Kathy and Jim Hartman, Alex Moore, Stephen Wynn, Esther Lucas, the Macmillan family, Diane, Dustin, and Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Gladys Phillips, Cedric Edwards, Lance Brown, Georgette Prevost, the Martin family, Arthur DeLone, Sister Janice family, Tyrone Hems and family, the Foxworth family, Corinth Davis, Sister Bridges and family, Sister Diane Adams and family, Tammy Ditto, Berlene Garrett, Patrice Fernandez, Jacqueline Nicholas, Paula Anthony, Maddie Lala and family, the Oliver family, Brenda Pierre, Darrett Olive, Lee Johnson and family, Whitney Mercandale and family, Alfrenette Williams and family, Christine Ward, all the people in the rehab in Houma, Louisiana, Florida Cage, the Butler family, Rosalind Henderson, Christy Moore, Tanya Williams, the Taylor family, Emma Gauthier, Diamond at Rouse on Franklin, the Bartholomew family, also asking prayers for our youth in the city of New Orleans. I'm asking prayer for our city, everybody. I'm asking prayer for our city officials. And even the President of the United States, we need to be praying for all our leaders tonight. Lord, I say thank you for tonight, for life. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to witness another Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, please, please bless our Bible study as it helps us to grow. Father God, we thank you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Sister Diane. Lord, may you continue to nourish her with your wisdom and your knowledge that you give. Lord, keep us from all dangers, seen and unseen. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're still going to do. Giving you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. God bless you and keep you.
Thank you.
I have another caller. Your number is 715-46.
Nope.
Your mic is
nope.
Open.
Yes, ma'am.
You said no.
I'm gonna do the closeout prayer.
You're gonna do the...
I was wondering where Sister Pam was with the list.
All right, everybody in their place. Glory be to God. We'll meet you back again at the end, Sister Hilaria. God bless you as well. And thank
All
you,
right.
Sister Pam. Hallelujah. There's nothing better when the body of Christ works together to achieve a goal for God. We have to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have to we should have a desire to want to play a part in whatever God has connected you to. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, so just let God use you, because as the song said, even in his using you, he's always preparing you for the next matters in your life. Well, the title of our lesson tonight, it was just like the song, God is preparing you for the next matter in your life. We coming from Romans, the 8th chapter, the 28th through the 31st verse. And I decided to do a little bit of background on Romans because, you know, you have the book of Romans in the Bible, and Paul wrote the book of Romans, and we know that Paul wrote to the Romans. But have you ever asked yourself, what part did the Romans play in God's master plan? And what is the importance of the Romans? And why was Paul instructed and given insight by God to write the book of Romans? Well, I want you to know that the Romans played a part. The Roman Empire was a human political entity that God used to prepare the word for the birth of the Messiah and for the spread of the gospel. You see, at the end of the Old Testament, Israel had returned from exile. And when we say at the end of the Old Testament, you know, there was 400 years between the Old and the New Testament. And the Romans is very active in that time. And, you know, that was a period of time when God had silenced his ear and held back his voice to the people, to the Jews, and he was silent. And that's why when we studied the 400 years between the Testament, I say if you pay attention, you'll see the mighty hand of God working things out for the good. But you see, at the end of the Old Testament, Israel had returned from exile. Jerusalem had been rebuilt. The temple had been reconstructed, and it was functioning again. But as the power of Rome grew, it became an empire and swallowed up Israel and the Palestinians. You see, the Jews was allowed to maintain their religious practices as long as they did not make trouble for Rome. Rome placed a series of puppet kings and military leaders, even judges, in various provinces in Palestine. You see, the Roman government was in control and the Jews was under the Roman government rules, but they were not slaves. You see, God used the decree of a pagan emperor to move Mary and Joseph into a place that had been prophesied about. You see, certainly Mary and Joseph could have not chosen to go to Bethlehem on their own, but it was in order to fulfill the prophecy where Jesus would be born. However, the Roman emperor's decree that set everything in motion demonstrated that Mary and Joseph did not manipulate the events or set up anything concerning their son as the potential Messiah. You see, where God guides, he provides. You know, God had a master plan and was working it out even in his 400 years of silence. If you study that period, you're going to see what the Maccabees done and the Assyrians did. You know, God was establishing, hallelujah, he was opening and preparing a way for his son to come and be our Savior and walk on earth and give us examples. And God was setting it up all the time. You see, one of the priorities of the Roman Empire, even perhaps the main priority, was peace, which it accomplished with an iron hand. You see, the peace of Rome guaranteed that the people could live and travel within the Roman Empire safely. Look what Roman did. Look what the Romans did. Roads was constructed that made travel easier, and a common language, which was Latin, broke down communication barriers among various ethnic groups and provided something of a common culture. Come on, y'all. God had a plan, and he even used them for his plan to get the job done because he knew what he wanted. You see, for me to summarize this and to close it out, study the Romans if you want to. I just wanted to give you a little bit for you to understand. You see, in summary, the Roman Empire had a tremendous impact in the circumstances regarding Jesus' birth, crucifixion, and unintentionally provided the necessary infrastructure to allow the apostles to spread the gospel throughout the Mediterranean world. Didn't God do it? See, God has a purpose and a plan for all of our lives. God uses everything that he created to accomplish his goals. Check the Romans out, and you'll be pleasantly surprised to see how the hand of God works in his creation. So we're going to go into the scripture now, and we had Romans 8:28, and the scripture reads as follows. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, if you love God, you will be more than a conqueror. You see, God is always working things out for our good, even when we don't realize it. We have to trust him and then allow him to work his work in you. You know, God is trying to do some things in all of our lives, and we just don't understand it and we don't see it. But you see, when we trust him fully and allow him to do the work in us, it's when it all works out for your good. You see, sometimes we want things that are not good for us, and it may not even be good to us. You see, we have to trust that God knows best. Even when it don't feel good, even when it don't look good, even when it don't taste good, even when it don't seem to be right in your eyes. But it's not your will, it's God's will, and God doesn't make no mistakes. You see, we must realize that just because we love the Lord, everything will not be all good. God never promised us a rose garden. You know, some things is going to happen, even when you're doing right. Some things, you know, I have to go back to Katrina. When Katrina came and the floods came in, you know, it didn't pick and choose the ones that was doing the most work for God to not wet their houses. Some things is just going to be. But God stepped in and through it all, he worked it out for the good. And some people, he worked it out for their good. And even today, so many years after, they can't see the plan of God. You know, they still can't see. God could have did many things and put the opportunities in your way, but you just didn't open the door. Because you never have the opportunity to tell God, why didn't you? He's going to always be able to see, because he's perfect, that I did, you didn't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, and it's not what happens in our lives, but who we go through it with. You see, we live in an evil world, and evil is prevalent. And this is a fallen world. But God is able to turn every circumstance around for your long-range good, because he knows his intended purpose for your future. And he's going to accomplish it. What he is saying, that our latter will be greater than our beginning. Do you believe it? And if you do, look to your future with great expectancy. You see, the promise, this promise of working things out for the good is not for everybody. It can only be claimed by those who love God and are called according to his purpose for his glory. You might ask, who are the called? Well, I want to tell you tonight, the call are those when the Holy Ghost offered the invitation to you to accept Christ as your Savior. If you were convinced and you accepted the call, you became the called of God. The call of those who answered the call. You see, the Holy Spirit's job is to convince you that you are a sinner. Come on now. And in need of a Savior. He lets us know that Christ is the chosen one. See, the Holy Ghost is a witness of who Christ is. And he shares that with you in his molding and shaping and circumcising your heart and directing you. He's trying to tell you where your source come from. You know, have you ever put your trust in God? Do you trust him right now? No matter what you're going through, my brothers and sisters, I come to ask you to just be patient, learn and grow and know more, and then do your part. And yes, you do have a part to play. You see, doing these things will keep you in position to receive all that God has for you. And you got to remember, what God has for you is for you. Don't go looking at what somebody else has. Don't ask God to help you to do it like she did it. I have so many people in my new members class that say they welcome the day when they could pray like Sister Mary or Sister Paul or whoever. That's their prayer. Get your prayer. You know, and you have to know, just because they pray a long prayer The longest prayer may not be the best prayer. But what God has for you is for you. And the scripture that I love to quote, Jeremiah 29:11, you see, that lets us know that God has a purpose and an intended plan for our future. Because in that scripture he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You see, God is constantly preparing you for the next matter in your life. Yeah, you're stuck where you are right now. Yeah, you might not understand where you are right now. Yeah, you might think it's the end of the world. Yeah, you might think there's no way to come out. But God is preparing you for the next matters in your life. Help is always on the way. And you see what God has for you. You can't stop it. No one else either. You can't block it. Can't nobody block what God has for you either. But you can be out of position to receive it. And by the way, God has proven that he does not allow your past to dictate your future. So that should be good news for somebody tonight. The Bible says, "There's now, therefore, now no condemnation." And we beat up on ourselves daily. But God said, "I no longer see that." He said, "When I look at you, I can only see my son, if you're his child. And he's your father." And you know, the Bible gives us examples all the time to let us know why these scriptures are true, and it gives legs to the scriptures, and you could walk through it and you could get a better picture of it. And Jesus talked in parables and hallelujah and all of these things. So I'm going to give you a little example of Joseph. You see, Joseph was favored by his father, and Joseph's father loved him more than he loved his brothers, and he caused his brothers to be jealous, and they hated him. You see, Joseph's brother sold him into slavery in Egypt. I want you to know right now, he entered Egypt as a slave and immediately moved to second command to the highest rank other than a king. Everything was going all right for Joseph. You see, but his Egyptian boss wife wanted him, and because he wasn't obliged her, she lied on him. He was placed in jail for a sin he didn't commit. Sold as a slave, 9 jail for a crime he didn't commit, and some of us is worrying about the wrong things and sweating the small stuff. Plenty of people have battles in their life, and they're worse than you guys, because, you know, they always like to tell us, you know, you complain about not having the shoes you want, but you walk up the road and you see a man with no feet. You see, the king had a problem. Now, this is the king over the man who put Joseph in jail, the king, the highest ruler in the land. He had a problem, and someone told him about Joseph's gifts. He summoned Joseph. Joseph gave him the answers that he wanted. He released him out of jail. You see how God worked it out for his good with the gift that he had given him? You see, when God wants you to be elevated, and when God wants you to get to your intended purpose, he's providing everything necessary for you to get there. See, Joseph had a gift to interpret dreams. The king had a dream. But Joseph didn't give himself the gift. He didn't get smart enough and develop the gift. The gift was a gift from God, and here he used what God has given him to get where he needed to be. You see, God has already given us everything necessary to accomplish his will and for us to give him glory. You see, while we are going through, we may not understand, but all I can tell you tonight, just hold on. Help is on the way. Hold on, my brothers and sisters. Don't get discouraged about what you're going through, because many times in life I've seen that it wasn't that you was going through, but it was that God was only bringing you. You weren't going through, but God was bringing you to where he wanted you to be, and that was just a part of the travel. That, you know, some of them trials and tribulations just was necessary to get you to your long-range goals. So, you know, when you feel like, why me and I'm going through, look at it another way and say, God, I thank you because I know you're carrying me too. And then Joseph became the ruler of Egypt, only second to the king. God had an intended purpose for Joseph's life, and he's always working it out together for his good. You see, there was no food anywhere in the land, only the food that Joseph was in control of. Joseph's brothers had to come all the way from where they were living to try to get food because Egypt was the only place that had food and Joseph was in control. His brothers got there. They didn't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognized them. But you see, when he made himself known, they was afraid because they know what they had done him. They had sold him into, you know, slavery, and they had really plotted to kill him. But look what Joseph told him. Don't worry about what you did because you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. And then Genesis 50 and 20 said, Genesis 50 and 20 said, you intended for my bad. God turned it around for my good. You see, Joseph was able to save his entire family and other nations from starvation. You see, his ladder was greater than his beginning. So I come to tell you tonight, no matter where you are in life, don't despise small beginnings. And yet, God can make your enemies your footstool. They were mad with Joseph because they say one day he said that he had a dream and they would bow down. They came to that food and they was bowing down. Not only his brothers, but his father bowed down too, giving him honor and respect for the position that he was in, that God had placed him in. God is working it out. And if we look at the next scripture, Romans 8 and 29, it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What's this saying? He knew. You know, plenty of people have problems with this scripture because they say if he predestinate who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved, what's the sense in trying to be saved if it's already chosen? The scripture is not saying that. It's saying for who he knew. See, God has ultimate wisdom. He knows everything before the foundation of the world all the way through eternity. So where we are right now, God knew July the 3rd. Come on now, y'all. He knew who would be on the line. He knew what each one of you are looking for. He knew how much you participate and study before the lesson and pray for the prayer list that goes forth. He knows all of this. So in his ultimate wisdom, he knew who would accept his son. Come on now. And you see, because he knew that, he said those he called. And the Holy Ghost receive the summons from God, and the Holy Ghost can come. The Holy Ghost comes and deliver the invitation, and those who accept the invitation, he justified. And whom he justified, he began to glorify you. So you are justified by God, and you are being glorified daily through the sanctification process orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. You see, this scripture lets us know that God's ultimate goal is for us to become more like his son. He didn't say for y'all to become his son, more like his son. You accept Christ, you become a Christian. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And God allowed his son to walk the earth those 3 years to give us an example how to get it right. You see, 1 John 3:2 said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it do not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appear, we shall be like him as he is." And that's the glory. That's the promise. So we will be just like Jesus. We're going to have on them glorified bodies. We're going to have on them incorruptible bodies. All of the corruption is going to be gone away. Oh, happy day. You see, Jesus is coming back, and we shall be somehow transformed into his likeness. This process has already begun in the believer's life. As we become more and more like him, as we discover our true selves, I tell y'all all the time, you'll never know who you are until you know who your maker is. The person we are created to be, we become more and more like Christ. You see, some people live their whole life not knowing who they are or even who they belong to. Most people believe they belong to themselves. And you might say, well, why you want to say that, Minister Diane? Because they do whatever seems right in their own eyes. They participate in the plan of God when it's convenient. And so on and so on and so on. You see, we become conformed to Christ's likeness by reading and heeding the word of God, and by studying his life on earth through the gospel. You are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit. You believe and should cooperate with his instructions. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father. Some believe this verse means that before the beginning of the world, God had chosen people, and we just see that that's not. But he knew who would be saved. What is clear that God's purpose for us was not an afterthought. It was settled before the foundation of the world. And after the foundation was formed, in Psalm 139, you see that the hands of God was forming you in your mother's womb. If you answer the call, you become the call. God has justified you, and he's glorifying you and sanctifying you daily, which is his work. But you got to cooperate with his spirit, which is your work. And if we look at the last verse, Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for you, who could be against you? You see, God has a purpose and an intended end for our lives, and no one can turn it around. No matter what the devil send your way for your bad, God can turn it around for his good. See, we have to speak the word of God to situation, adversities, trials, and tribulations. We have to do like Jesus did when the devil was on him and tempted him, and he tried to give God some half-baked words, all out of contents. But Jesus came back and just used the word of God, which strengthened him and allowed him to yield not. You know, we have to do that. Satan said, I'm going to give you, turn these stones into bread because I know you're hungry. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. You see, these battles that you're facing, God said they're not yours. They belong to him. God is letting us know that he's truly working all things out for our good. And we are more than conquerors with God if we hold on and be patient. God is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. What he has done is doing and has promised to do for others, he will surely do for you. All those weapons that are formed against you, I come to tell you tonight, they might form, but they all won't prosper. You can depend on God. Hallelujah. God is preparing you so that your ladder will be greater than your beginning. And if you trust God, obey his word, you will become mature. And I come to tell you tonight, maturity has its advantages. Maturity gives benefits. You know how you know more tonight than you did 1, 2, 5 years ago? And how stronger you have gotten, and how much more confidence you have living in this wicked world, knowing that God is in control, because you're maturing. Come on, y'all. You're growing. You see, Christian growth is necessary for you to stop drinking milk. If you're at the same place you were, say, 5 years ago, and you believe you are dealing with the things of God and studying and studying and praying the way you should, and you still could only drink milk, something ain't right. And it should be your desire to start eating the meat. You see, but if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all things will be added unto you. So tonight you have to ask yourself, what are you seeking? You know where you spend most of your time. You know where you spend most of your money. And if you have talents, you know where you use your talents. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight because I won't be able to see it anyway. But you evaluate yourself. Y'all know, if y'all don't know, I come to tell you, we living in the last days. And if we never learn anything else about from the word of God or about God, all of us know enough to do better. God ain't going to be taking no excuses. If you allow the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you, you will be in position to receive the blessings of God. If you allow God's standards to become your moral compass and not the world standards, you will have great success in all areas of your life. You know, the world is mixing up with the church. The church was designed to sit on a hill and draw other nations unto God. But every day it looks like the other nation is drawing the church unto the world. Don't compromise your faith. And whenever you say in the word of God and you put but behind it, you done messed up. Yeah, you should pay your tithes, but I just But I just don't have enough money. You think God don't know Matt? He only asked for 10 and let you keep 90? You know? No, this is not, this. The Bible said it's not right, but whenever you have to keep putting them butts behind it, you're messing up. And I'm going to close with this. If we do these things, which are God's road map for kingdom living, we're not in this, we in this world, but we in the kingdom of God here on earth, and realize that we are in the world but not of the world, we are only passing through. Look at these things. He said this life on earth is small, it's like a vapor. It's short. It just seems long to us. It seems like that's all it is. You have to keep your focus on your eternal life, which is going to last forever. You will experience that your ladder will become greater than your beginning. Trust God, because he's truly working all things out together for your good. That's our program for tonight. I pray that it helped someone. You know, I pray that it was food for thought for someone. I pray that it was a word that they needed. And at this time, I will open the mic because we have like 10 minutes because I want to give you guys time to say what you need to say, pray how you need to pray, if you need to sing, because this is not my Bible study. It's our Bible study. And caller, your number was 33395. Your light has been on, and now I'm giving you the opportunity to go forward.
God,
caller, your number is
33. God bless you. This is Evangelist Norma Chapman calling to tell you my prayers are with you. I enjoyed your study on tonight, and I pray that the listeners were blessed as well and continue to do God's will and walk in the path that he has given you and directing you in. And I pray that everyone, all the listeners tonight, were blessed by the word, and that they receive it, and that they would take heed to what you were teaching on tonight. God bless you, and God keep you.
Thank you so much, Evangelist Chapman. Would you like to tell the listeners that the program that you have on Blog Talk Radio?
Yes, I'm the host of Facing the Fears, and I'm on every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30 Central Standard Time. But tomorrow night has been postponed because of the 4th of July holiday. But we will resume back next week at the scheduled time, which the subject will be about the health issues in the state of Louisiana and other states as well. And the guest will be Mrs. Alma Stewart from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She is the founder of the Louisiana Health Committee there in Baton Rouge, and she's also the chair for the NAACP Health Committee. So I pray that some of the listeners will tune in on Facing Your Fears and be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Evangelist Chapman. Sister Evangelist Chapman is also the author of a book, and it's titled Facing Your Fears. For those who would like to get the information, Wait, let me get it clear for you. Go ahead, darling.
The title of the book is What Faith Can Do, and you can get it by contacting myself at Norma_Chapman@yahoo.com, or just call the radio station Facing the Fears, Black Talk Radio, and I'll be happy to have you as a guest or just a listener, and I would love to hear your comments and your insight on whatever the topic we're talking about. But What Faith Can Do has been published since 2008. It's a book about my where I was shot twice in the liver, stabbed inch from my heart, allowed to come up for 40 days with 6-day blood transfusion. And I'm here. I'm a living miracle today to let you know that God is still in the blessing business. As the lesson we're on tonight, God knows the plans that he has for our lives, and he already knows where we're headed and what's going to happen in our life. And as the minister Diane was teaching on tonight, that nothing can harm you if you trust, if you put your trust in God and lean not to our own understanding. Out of all of our ways, we should acknowledge him, and he will and shall direct our path. And I thank Minister Diane for giving me an opportunity to announce about my radio show as well as the book, What Faith Can Do. And if you need to contact me, you can contact me through Minister Diane Adams, or as I said, I'm Norma, all lowercase letter, _Chapman@yahoo.com. God bless you, Minister Diane.
Bless you as well, Sister Chapman, and thank you so much. That's my sister in Christ. I sat next to her every Sunday in church when we're there together, and we pull strength from one another. You need to have somebody you could pull strength for, you know, especially when you're going to battle and, you know, if you're in fellowship and stuff with the Word of God. That's that's the one I pull strength from, and we be
God
together
bless.
In worship on yeah. Sunday.
And
thank
you,
my sister.
You know, you're not sitting beside of me on the Sundays, as I so often tell you, I miss you because I do get strength from you, and she's a beautiful person, and ones who are listening in and have not met Minister Diane Adams. She's a wonderful woman of God, and she's walking in her calling, and she has a beautiful spirit about herself. She teaches in the members class at our church, and she's just a woman, a great, great woman of God. And I pray that you all will continue to listen to her radio show, because she's wise, she has wisdom from above, and God is really leading her in the path that we all should go. And I pray that the listeners will listen, and they have their hearts, open up their hearts and their ears, and take heed to what you're teaching, because we all have come from the sinful world, and God has renewed our life. And as Romans 12:1 said, we are not transformed into this world. We are not a part of this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove what is perfect and acceptable to Christ. So, Minister Diane, I pray that the Lord will continue to shine his wisdom down upon you, continue to bless you, that you will continue to go forward in the Word of God. And I pray that the listeners out there, if they're standing in need of anything, that the Lord will bless all of them richly. God bless you all, and God keep you. Love you, Minister Diane.
Love you too, sister. Is there anyone would like to say anything? I just want to make a little praise report. We have a Brenda Pierre that's on the prayer line. And, you know, she was in rehab. She asked us to pay for the rehab. Well, I want you to know that she went home the other day. She's been in a hospital since January. And the other day, this week, Monday, she was released and she went home. So we could give God the praise for that. Emma Gaucher was in the hospital, and she has gone, you know, she went home, not to be with Jesus, but to her residence. She's gone home, and Brenda Pierre went home to her residence, her home. And, Gladys Phillip name is on a prayer list, and she's in the hospital right now. So continue to lift her up, and, you know, not just her, but everybody on our prayer list. And I thank Sister Pam for the beautiful job that she's doing with that. And I know she pray over that list. So if you know anybody need prayer, if you need prayer yourself, you could press the one button and we could get you on the prayer line. So if anybody wants prayer, press the one button and we'll, Sister Pam will add you to the list. If not, what we're going to do now, look at the time. We're right on time. God is an on-time God. We're going to ask Sister Eulalia Mackey, our prayer warrior, to come in.
Come on, I pray.
Okay, before you come on, Sister Eulalia, somebody, your number is 205-79. Your mic is open.
How you doing? This is Office Depot. I was pressing the one to ask. I'm asking for prayer for my friend Tasha Kane. On last Thursday, her son was killed at that skate park. And, of course, you know all the emotions she's dealing with at this time. So I'm asking for peace, and I'm asking for her to have strength for her other two children. And I'm just asking you all to be in prayer with me for her entire family. Her name is Tasha Kane.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
And I was supposed to ask for prayer for the young man's grandmother, which is a classmate of mine from the Culver class of 71, Ruth Hollinsworth Clark.
Yeah.
That was her grandson.
Yes.
So, sister, can you say the name again so I can make sure Miss Pam had it clearly so she can add it to the list?
The young man's name is David McGee. His mother's name is Tasha Kane, and his father is David McGee, Senior.
Thank you so much, darling. And we're going to keep lifting him up in prayer.
Yes.
You know, many times we walk and you hear something going on about somebody, and they say, all we could do is pray. And you have somebody going through, and you say, well, I'm going to pray for you. And no more pray for them people than the man in the moon. We got to be better about our Father's business. If you say it, do it. If you asked, do it. If you're not asked, do it. Because prayer is what really changed things. So, Sister Eulalia Mackey, at this time, your mic is open, and you can lead us out, and we'll be back next week if God say the same.
Lord, I love you. Yes, I love you. How I love you, Lord. I really love you just for who you are and all of your glory. My heart sings, holy, holy. Yes, Lord, you are everything we need you to be. You are the great I am. Lord, we love you. Yes, we love you. How we love you, Lord. We really love you. We really love you, Lord. We really love you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we just come thank you for another Wednesday night, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing, oh God. We thank you for what you will do, oh God. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I lift up Tasha Kane unto you, Lord God, and David McGee Sr., Lord God, that they would be strengthened, Lord God, that the children would be strengthened, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, because I know you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, and it's according to the power that working in us. God, and I just plead the blood of Jesus over our youths, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for covering them, God. God, you said that we ought to train up a child in the way it should go, and when it's old, it will not depart.
It may stray from your training, but it will not depart, oh God. So we thank you for keeping our children on a straight and narrow path. We thank you, Lord God, that we are a blood-washed people. We are your purchased possession. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and for that we are grateful. God, I lift up Nedra Williams unto you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would touch her body, Lord God. God, I thank you for Sister Brenda and them going home, oh God. I thank you for what you have done in their lives, oh God, for what you're doing. I thank you for everyone on the prayer list that you was encouraged and strengthened, Lord God, because your word declares that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. You're the God that healed us, oh God. So we thank you for healing right now, Lord. We thank you because we recognize that your word declares that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we thank you because you said that we are lively stones. We are your purchased possession. We are a royal priesthood. We are of a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are of a chosen generation. And we just come right now, Lord God, to show forth the praises of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we recognize that this outer man is perishing, oh God. But we thank you because your inner man is growing day by day. So we thank you for growing, oh God, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for strength because we draw strength one from another. God, I pray right now for the whole household of faith in the mighty name of Jesus and all of those that call on the name of Jesus. God, and I thank you, Lord, and I lift up Minister Diane to you, Lord God. I thank you for the word that has come forth because your word declares that we are your people and we are your chosen generation and we are of a royal priesthood, oh God. And you said, beloved, above all, you will that we will prosper and be in good health even as our souls prosper. And God, we thank you because your word declares if we abide in you and your word abide in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be done. So God, we just asking that you would touch everyone on our prayer list tonight, oh God, that you would strengthen those on the inner man, Lord God, that you would seal, direct, and deliver, Lord, and that you would give joy where the enemy has torn down, Lord, because your word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we thank you, Lord God, and we even lift up Minister Diane's daughter and son unto you, Lord God, and her grandson, Lord God. God, that you would keep her generation in the mighty name of Jesus. And we call it all done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Sister Elyria. And I thank everyone that took time from your busy schedule. I thank everyone that took and played a part, whatever part it was, in our lesson on tonight. And I say I thank God for each and every one of you. And I just want you to know that this is our program for tonight. If it's God's will, we'll meet next week, same time, same place. And I want everybody to know that God loves you, and so do I. Let us take as a rule to learn to treat others as we would like to be treated. God said when we do that, we have covered all the laws and we have done everything that the prophets had asked us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank God. Good night.